I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Enough is enough. This is how Israel conducts its assaults through atrocities, because its goal is not security, not the security of those held captive in Gaza, not the security of the Israeli people, but the destruction and displacement of the Palestinian people, even if that means prolonging the conflict indefinitely.
What is the meaning of this humanitarian ceasefire? There's no such a thing. This is one big lie, a whitewashing of the truth. A humanitarian ceasefire means a terrorist-saving ceasefire. We're not stupid.
No, Israel is not stupid. You were listening then to the beginning of the UN ambassador for the PLO. Yeah, they have an ambassador representing the Palestinian Authority, and talking about how Israel continues to pound Gaza and killing civilians and the atrocities they are committing, all because of October 7. And response to that was the Israeli ambassador of the UN, saying another ceasefire is just a chance for more Hamas to live. We're not stupid. The latest efforts to create a ceasefire, not going anywhere, and apparently Hamas is actually the one rejecting the latest proposal. We're going to break it all down for you. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, December 21. Santa's coming to some of us. The rest of it, no. December 21, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back to back right here for you. Every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8, we're here for you. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter. And on Rumbark channels. And if you miss anything, audio and our video, or you want to do it later when you have more time to sit and soak it in, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything will be available for you. And when you listen or watch, please share it with someone. Send it on. Pass it forward. I appreciate it. So the battling continues in Gaza. And, of course, now a lot of the concentration is around southern Gaza, moving closer toward Egypt, and partly because they know Hamas leaders and commanders moved south along with the civilian population. And many of them probably did it early to get away from the bombing that was going on in the north, because Israel made it clear for the civilians, if you go to the south, you're going to be safer. You need to leave. And gave them numerous hours, even days, before the assault began. Well, you know the Hamas terrorists are going to use that same opportunity and move a lot of stuff south, which they did. And now the battle's engaged again down there. Now, Trey Yanks is making a report, but before I go to it, it was not in this report, but while he was on the air at one point, the Iron Dome got activated. Again, missiles, rockets being fired into Israel by Hamas, and the Iron Dome intercepted them, and they were aimed generally for Tel Aviv. They don't have any guidance system on them. They're basic scuds, as we've seen previously. With Iraq, you just fire it into the air, and it falls you know not where. You don't care as long as it goes that direction. And so the sirens went off in Tel Aviv even. But here's Trey Yangst on some of the latest actions.
Former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone, said this to Fox News about the possibility of a ceasefire.
That is why we cannot agree to a ceasefire now. And you see the voices coming from the UN, pressure on the US, because a ceasefire now will keep Hamas alive, will allow themselves to reconstruct their abilities, and they will become heroes. That should be a symbol that when you come against a democracy and you try to terrorize it, that is your last mistake. That's what will happen to Hamas in Gaza.
The fighting inside Gaza comes as activity continues to increase on Israel's northern front. Overnight, Israeli strikes against southern Lebanon were more serious after new attacks by the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Attacks against American forces are also increasing across the Middle East in both Iraq and Syria. Overnight, a rocket attack against the Al-Assad air base brought the total number to 102 since mid-October. The region clearly on the brink of a much broader conflict, and that's part of the reason over the past week you've seen American officials visiting here in Tel Aviv to meet with their Israeli counterparts and prepare for the future.
To prepare for the future, well, what's that going to involve? Are we going to see another ceasefire right away? And keep in mind, they continue to fire upon U.S. forces outside of that area. Not just the Houthi rebels going after merchant ships and some of our warships that might be in that part of the world, but forces we have stationed elsewhere around the region. So far, we've not had an American killed. So far. What happens when that does happen? And they want to keep it from escalating, obviously. I want you to listen to Chris Hayes, MSNBC, and you're going to hear him justify a reason that Israel should stop everything now, because what happened on October 7, he's basically saying, not that big of a deal.
And an atrocity like October 7th does not, cannot justify whatever comes after it, whatever the response. There is no terrorist attack, no matter how horrific, and truly October 7th was horrific, that can wash clean what we are seeing in Gaza and what we as Americans and our government are abetting.
We as Americans are abetting. Now, again, this is another effort by the leftists to push Joe Biden in the corner, that back off, quit supporting Israel. And you need to stand firm for the PLO. That's just what the progressive leftists want to hear. Chris Hayes, you're an excellent propaganda machine. If they went after your family and did to your family what was done to innocent Israelis, would you say, oh, that's okay, we'll forgive? If you could say forgive in such a case like that, and we're not going to take the fight to you, well, you're a better man than I am, because I damn sure am not going to. And neither is Israel. They said they would exterminate Hamas and make them pay for it. I want you to hear from a report from News Nation about the talk that, well, maybe the idea is just go after the Hamas leaders and all the other minions, because that way you might not be hitting more civilians.
When people say that Israel ought to be targeting Hamas leadership, of course, that sounds great, right? It's true. But what exactly does that mean? Should Israel be going into other countries where these leaders are living? That's sure what it sounds like when Vice President Harris said this yesterday.
I think we know that far too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. And it is important then that, and we have made clear our perspective on this, that that there be a lessening of the intensity and more precision around how Israel goes after Hamas and the leadership of Hamas.
Too many Palestinians have been killed, and we know that they should lessen the intensity and more precision. Israel's been doing the best it can and had to admit that it actually killed three of the terrorists. The Israeli Defense Forces killed three hostages. I said terrorists, three hostages being held by the terrorists. Israel admitted to that. So don't think that they're not trying to avoid killing innocent people. They shot them because they thought they were terrorists. I want you to hear, before we wrap up this hour, remarks from a mother of one of those hostages who got killed. Now, the question being raised there as to how are you going to target the Hamas leaders, and then leading into Vice President Kamala, who is clueless, Dan Abrams from News Nation. It also should be pointed out that the Hamas leaders, for the most part, the real leadership, they're not in Gaza. They're in Qatar, Turkey, and Jordan, U.S. allies. So the question to John Bolton, former U.N. ambassador and also aide, national security aide to Trump, should Israel be going into other countries to get these guys?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if Israel were prepared to do that. They have taken out significant figures in the Iranian nuclear weapons program. They've gone after perpetrators of the Holocaust in other countries. So the idea that they might be planning, might be trying to find a way to go after Hamas leaders in other countries wouldn't be at all surprising, and it would be totally justified. Given the barbarity, the atrocities that Hamas committed on October the 7th, given the fact that this was an unprovoked attack, I think Israel's right to self-defense includes taking out Hamas's commanders. They are legitimate military targets. Now, where they are at any given point is anybody's guess, and I suppose they're doing everything they can to evade detection, but Israel's got some pretty good capabilities, so good luck to the Hamas leaders for trying to evade them.
I would assume the United States, what, then condemns Israel for going into Qatar? How does this all play out politically?
Well, it's a complex scenario. I think the United States would be very poorly advised to criticize Israel for successfully eliminating terrorists. We do it all the time, and I've got no compunction in saying I think it's a good idea.
And I agree. Eliminate the terrorists wherever you find them. The October 7 Hamas attack certainly unveiled the anti-Semitism that exists inside our nation. And even those who are calling for wiping out Israel and all Jews. As we saw recently in congressional testimony, leaders of Poison Ivy League schools not only ignore the hate they hear and see on their campuses, but they appear to endorse it. You remember the Penn University president ended up losing her job because of that congressional appearance. The MIT and Harvard president still had their jobs. But the Harvard president is under added scrutiny.
Matt, what exactly is Dr. Gay accused of here?
Well, Jake, Claudine Gay's career is under a microscope, and now she's facing accusations of plagiarism. Now, Gay recently submitted corrections to two papers that she wrote as a professional academic in 2001 and 2017. However, there are clear examples of plagiarism that occurred in the 1990s when Gay was studying for her PhD at Harvard. And in one example, Gay's 1997 dissertation lifted one paragraph almost verbatim from another source without citation. That offense appears to go against Harvard's current guide on plagiarism, which you stated earlier, Jake. Harvard's plagiarism policy says that students who submit work without clear attribution to sources will be, quote, subject to disciplinary action, up to and including requirement to withdraw from the college.
So there's a pressure point. Now, the story about the plagiarism surfaced long before Jake Tapper of CNN was questioning his correspondent Matt Egan about this, but he was wanting to get more details on it. And the other part of that issue, what does Harvard have to say, Matt Egan?
These instances of plagiarism were first reported by the Washington Free Beacon. CNN's analysis, led by my colleague MSTEC, confirmed some of the main allegations in that reporting. Now, Harvard's top governing body said in a statement last week it became aware of plagiarism allegations against Gay in late October. An independent review found a few instances of missing citations, but no violation of Harvard's standards. However, it's not clear whether that review included Gay's 1997 dissertation. Now, neither Harvard nor Gay have commented on the allegations of plagiarism from the 1990s. CNN reached out to Harvard with a list of questions, but the school declined to comment. In a previous statement, Gay said, quote, "I stand by the integrity of my scholarship. Throughout my career, I have worked to ensure my scholarship adheres to the highest academic standards."
Absolutely the highest academic standards. And Harvard University adhering to their highest standards with no comment. And acting like they were surprised to suddenly hear about this when it had been reported previously. And then it's pointed out by Egan, he said, they pulled off a lightning fast speed review of her papers. Lightning fast. Normally it takes weeks, months to go through, years maybe to go through some of this stuff. But within a matter of weeks, say, oh, she's all good. Well, not necessarily, because Egan points out some of the donors say she shouldn't even be in that position.
Gay's most outspoken critic, hedge fund billionaire Bill Ackman, has also highlighted the plagiarism charges, and he's argued, without evidence, that Harvard only hired Gay to fulfill diversity requirements. Now, plagiarism experts that CNN spoke to stressed that this is a very complex issue. These experts were divided on whether Gay's omissions warrant any punishment, but none of them called for her to be fired, and they noted it's quite rare for academics to be fired for plagiarism.
What? It's rare? You can plagiarize something and you're not going to be fired? That's the standard at Harvard? And yes, there's a concern about DEI and all that. I actually got her hired and put in that position to begin with. And you can claim, well, it's just the right-wing lane that is shouting this all the time. I think everybody should be saying, is the woman qualified to be there, and is she there simply because she's a black woman and she could bring in maybe more dollars? Well, a lot of those dollars are slowing down, if not stopping, not only Harvard, but other locations as well. And Matt Egan, in continuing his report with Jake Tapper, says what we're all seeing, and this is undeniable.
Another criticism is that there's a double standard. One set of rules for the students, another for the president of the university. I do think we should emphasize, though, that these flames have been fired and fueled by activists, not activists who are really concerned about academic citation methods, but right-wing activists who are trying to push out the presidents of Ivy League schools who they feel are too liberal.
The big question, I think, in the future is, how will Harvard be able to punish any students found guilty of the same offense without inviting a lawsuit? Because if she gets away with something that students can't get away with, that could be messy legally for the school, which I'm sure Harvard's lawyers have thought about way before I just said that.
I'm sure they have. In Washington Times today, a commentary by Max Eden and J.P. Green dealing with this, saying she is president of Harvard University. Typically, you get to be president if everyone knows you're very, very smart. And points out then that she has, over two decades, written 10 journal articles, no books. That's about half the average rate for a political science professor, even at a mid-university. She did publish a piece 6 years ago titled A Room for One's Own. Gay found that Democrat governors direct federal housing subsidies to supportive constituencies when they have the discretion to do so. In other words, had your constituency, make them happy, to hell with everyone else. In the next hour, former White House advisor Kellyanne Conway says the GOP needs to overhaul the party's abortion strategy before the 2024 election. What does that mean? Well, John Carney, president of the world's largest pro-life organization, is he going to agree, or will he think, overhaul our abortion strategy? That could be a bridge maybe too far. That's in the next hour. But up next, my guest says transgender surgery is the modern-day lobotomy to deal with the mentally disturbed. I want to hear more on that, and so do you. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. your world cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. A lobotomy is a type of brain surgery that was very popular in the 30s as a way to treat those who had mental health conditions. It involves severing the connection between the frontal lobe and other parts of the brain, basically destroying that person's future, basically. In fact, it did. My next guest, Sarah Parshall Perry with the Heritage Foundation, did a piece for the Daily Wire talking about that the lobotomy of the 30s is what we're seeing right now when it comes to treating the, quote, mentally disturbed over their gender by transgender surgery. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
It's you have put this, along with Hans von Spakovsky, with an excellent point. Basically, look at history and what we did, and you're doing it again.
Yeah, that's exactly it. In fact, I went into Hans's office. He sat down. You know, this is an issue, obviously, that I do quite a bit of writing on. I have deep investment in this issue, not only because I'm the parent of three teenagers, but because my children have been exposed to this up close and personally by classmates who have themselves expressed these, you know, feelings of gender dysphoria. And significantly so for adolescent female populations, this seems to be such a contagion that is taking off like wildfire. In fact, the numbers have increased up to 1,400% for the individuals that identify under the age of 18 as being transgender. But when I went into Hans's office, I told him, you know, this reminds me of the Tuskegee experimentation back in the 1930s that we're still essentially making amends for, because it was such a horrific period in medical malpractice and pseudoscience. There is nothing that stands to be gained, as you know, Larry, by performing these incredibly graphic and barbaric procedures on minor children who couldn't even drink, get drafted, buy a firearm, vote, or smoke tobacco.
Can't even make up their mind what they want for dinner.
That's exactly it. And what we're seeing now is sort of this, you know, write-off of their limited capacity and all these other aspects. And yet they're supposed to be fully aware of all of the lifetime consequences and bodily impact that these procedures are having. And it just absolutely stymies me that a good portion of the major medical associations have been politicized enough to get behind this, even though the scientific data is not there.
Well, I thought we're supposed to follow the science. Or political science.
Only in certain respects, it seems.
Political science will follow. Yeah. Now, but before we continue on where we are now with that, go quickly through the Tuskegee experiment when the lobotomies were underway.
You know, the Tuskegee experimentation was actually a procedure to purportedly treat syphilis in male blacks. And so they were sort of lured in with the promises of health insurance, life insurance, meals, certain benefits. They were lured in. They were not treated for syphilis. They were given placebo medication and instead were forced to undergo these incredibly graphic, violent and barbaric procedures where the frontal lobe was actually drilled through, disconnecting certain neural pathways and essentially leaving them with significant brain damage to see whether or not these would be treatments sufficient for these particular mental health impacts and others. And they were used essentially as human guinea pigs for this failed pseudoscience in mental health and neurology, and we're seeing it all over again. And these went through until the 1940s, up until the early 50s, and it took just the weight of politics, culture, and medicine to stand up and say, wait a minute, we're not curing anything. We're actually making it worse, and we've left these individuals mutilated and barbarized, and now they're having to deal with the consequences of something that the medical profession said was safe.
And the government endorsed. The government endorsed and paid for it.
That's exactly it. The government endorsed. And wouldn't you find it interesting that now we have government endorsement and Dr. Rachel, air quotes, Levine, who is the number two in charge at
HHS. The admiral, right.
That's exactly it. And I will say it on your show, Larry, that is a man in a dress.
Yes.
And we all know it. And, of course, to say that it's the first female admirable to be in that position is nothing short of a lie. But we've all sort of bought into this emperor has no clothesism, right? We've all been told.
Well, we haven't all, but you're right. It's being shoved that way. Now, you point out in your article that a lot of this that was taking place in the 30s and the 40s and then moving on, it kind of became the basis for the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson and undergoing mental treatment, electric shocks at that point.
Yes, that's exactly it. In fact, the entirety of the mental health industry, the mental health profession, and I benefited from growing up under the tutelage of my grandmother, who was the chief of psychiatric nursing at a county hospital. So I really sort of grew up understanding how these individuals were treated as less than for many, many years before they were seen as people who were in need of counseling and in many cases watchful waiting and talk therapy, behavioral therapy before they were subjected to any kind of extremism. And we seem to be taking the opposite tack. We know America has suffered the wounds of what it's done to our mentally ill patients. We have a mental health crisis in America. And I have often said we don't have a crisis of gender dysphoria. We have a crisis of mental health because over 60% of these minors have comorbid mental health diagnoses. That is incredibly significant. We need to address why they don't feel at home in their own bodies or whether or not this is really a cry for help in another aspect altogether.
You're listening to Sarah Parshall Perry of the Heritage Foundation, basing a piece that she and Hans von Spakovsky did for the Daily Wire. And I have always said, if if truly, if a person does not feel that they belong in their body and they really are having trouble, then I feel for them. I can't imagine. I feel for them. But right now we have too many just immediately rush them into surgery, sexual mutilation, and then others kind of, I think it's almost like caught up in. It's kind of like the growth, and I have a lot of gay friends, and they know I've said this before. Some have just said, oh, it's cool to be gay, let's do that. So this is a trend that's damaging forever to these children.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, we as conservatives have often used sort of what the left has decried as being slippery slope rhetoric. So, of course, we're seen as alarmists and pearl-clutching conservatives who are saying, you know, the sky is falling. But I will tell you, Larry, again, studying this issue, writing about it from a constitutional and a civil rights aspect, I have been exposed to a significant number of sort of ancillary mental health diagnoses, including now trans ableism. Larry, I am not making this up. There is now an increase in individuals who identify as being handicapped and will seek willful voluntary amputation of healthy limbs for the purposes of actually becoming handicapped. It really is, and in this case, I can say it boldly, a very slippery slope.
And we look at the European countries that we consider supposedly more liberal, more open to everything. They've shut this down.
They sure did. In fact, England, Sweden, Norway, Finland, the vast majority, even France to a certain extent, of these developed Western European nations have taken sort of a step back and gone, wow, we maybe rushed into this too quickly. Remember, England's only gender confirmation clinic, the Tavistock Clinic, was bankrupted after it was absolutely inundated with a number of medical malpractice claims.
Right.
And it became clear after too long that they realized the science was not there. These children had been rushed through the process, voluntary mastectomies, chemical castration, penilectomies. I mean, this is really barbaric, graphic stuff.
They crumbled
under the weight of financial bankruptcy.
And let me point something out. Some of those who were all about lockdowns, video Zoom only for the kids, everything, when all the data ended up being collected, obviously it was not going to be that dangerous for the kids, and their learning curve was sharply destroyed, and we're told, oh, well, we made a mistake, but you shouldn't continue to pile on us. Show some grace. How are you going to show grace to those who tell a child, we're going to sexually mutilate you and you'll be living on drugs the rest of your life?
That's exactly it. These are irreversible procedures. If a young woman has a voluntary mastectomy at the age of 15, and to say that these procedures are not happening is an absolute patent falsehood. In fact,
oh, I guess we just lost her. I'm so sorry. But her point being is that this does continue, and it continues on the basis because too many are allowing or just turning their back to it. Again, that was Sarah Parshall Perry and the article for the Daily Wire, and she acknowledged that the writing is on the wall. If we refuse to face it, it's going to be the modern-day Tuskegee, our cuckoo's nest, and the blame will be ours as adults and as our nation for allowing this to continue. And currently only two dozen states or fewer have laws prohibiting gender-affirming interventions for minors. And meanwhile, she said more and more are coming forward and saying, I want the amazing part she added there too, some saying, well, I want to be a handicapped person, so cut my leg off so I can be just with one leg. I'll be classified as handicapped. What kind of mental illness is that? Well, it's not one where you give in to what the patient wants. As she said, this is the distinction between science and Frankenstein. Coming up, Texas now flying illegals deeper north.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Times you can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
California's Lieutenant Governor is urging the state's top elections officials to explore legal options to get former President Donald Trump off the ballot next year.
KCRA 3 Capitol correspondent Ashley Zavala joins us with the request and how Republicans are responding to this.
Right. Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis sent Secretary of State Shirley Weber the letter this morning saying, quote, California must stand on the right side of history. California is obligated to determine if Trump is ineligible for the California ballot. California Republican Party Chairwoman Jessica Milan Patterson said in a statement, in part, once again, Democrats are salivating at any opportunity to deprive Republican voters of a full slate of candidates for our nation's highest office. California Democrats need to quit meddling in Republicans' primary and leave this decision to California voters.
Yeah, exactly true. Now, that was a report out of California, an LA TV station, about how we're seeing the effort to keep Trump off the ballot in Colorado, and now California says, you know, we should do the same thing, not let him get on the ballot. We warned the left when they were carrying out all their trumped up, pun intended, Russian collusion charges against Donald Trump for impeachment and everything else. You keep doing this, this could come back and bite you in the butt, and now it's doing it. And so Colorado thinks it's got a case, which has now hit the Supreme Court, that it can keep Trump from even being on the primary ballot, and therefore not on the general ballot. And there's talk in Colorado among the GOP, screw it, we'll just give up on the ballot, the primary, we'll just do a caucus. Can't keep us from doing that. Well, they could still fight to keep him off the general ballot. But now California is saying, no, we should do that too. You know, we got every reason to do that. Before you step deeper into that, you need to consider, again, how it could blow up in your face. I'll give you an example. Before I do, that report by that TV station, or the reporter, talking about California should be on the right side. The California never going to be on the right side, politically speaking, or at any point under the current leadership. If you want to say you should be on the correct side, that's also not going to work. Not under the leadership California has now. And here's the bite back at you. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the Lieutenant Governor of California, calling for, we need to make efforts to keep Trump off the ballot in our state. Well, Texas Lieutenant Governor Patrick said, you know what? Considering what Colorado did, and now, of course, seeing what Colorado did, now California considering, and other blue states considering that, he said, maybe what we need to do is maybe we in Texas should take Joe Biden off the ballot in Texas for allowing 8 million to cross our border since he's been president, disrupting our state for more than anything anyone else has done in recent history. 10,000, 12,000, 14,000 a day crossing the border. We're the 12th largest state, and this is incredible. And the keeping him off would be on the terms of, well, he has done what they're accusing Trump of doing as an elected official. These basically cannot hold office because of what he's done. Well, the argument to keep Trump off is going to end up working in favor of the Biden people because Section 14, or rather Amendment 14 and Section 3 that they're relying on is basically dead in the water anyway. Now, that doesn't say the Supreme Court couldn't go ahead and push it forward, but if they do, there will be such a total chaos this election period because watch for red states to immediately use that same blockage against Biden because they're claiming Trump is a insurrectionist. They can claim that, but has he done anything that they have nailed him with insurrection? Have they even charged him with insurrection? No, they have not, because they can't. If they could, they would have. Biden, can we say he's guilty of treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors? Well, his association with his son and the business dealings. Oh, no, 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 Larry, you can't do that. There's no proof there. Oh, so we can go with going after Trump with no proof that he caused the, quote, insurrection, which is was not at the U.S. Capitol January 6th. Then we can turn around and try to use the thing, same logic with Biden, and you say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. The hypocrites that exist in this nation right now are amazing. And at the same time, they should be considered fearful. I'd mentioned going into the break that Texas Governor Abbott is moving ahead with efforts to get illegals out of his state. He's been busing them to sanctuary cities. And Chicago and also New York. Well, the Chicago mayor the other day said, what we're going to start doing, every time one of these buses come in, it's labeled El Paso or something like that, that's clearly coming out of Texas and bringing migrants to our city, we're going to impound the bus. The bus companies have to pay to get it back, and we'll arrest the driver for trafficking people. Suddenly they're concerned about illegal human trafficking. The drug cartel, maybe if they rent the bus and drive it up, would that be acceptable to you? I'm just asking. So what Abbott decided, all right, well, we'll quit sending buses. He's picked up some private planes that are going to carry it out. And a charter jet flew 120 illegals, not immigrants, illegals, from El Paso to Chicago 2 days ago. Made public late yesterday. And the Texas governor's press secretary said, because the Chicago mayor is failing to live up to his city's welcoming city ordinance by targeting buses from Texas, we're expanding our operation to include flights to Chicago, like the Biden administration has been doing across the country. And yes, they have, and they probably still are. They come in the dead of night into little airports that maybe, hopefully, no one will be around, nobody will notice it. They're doing the same damn thing. And they are helping them get anywhere to the north, away from the border. If you try to enter Mexico illegally, you will be arrested and incarcerated. And good luck to getting out of a jail in Juarez or Tijuana. And good luck with surviving your time in that jail. The Tucson International Airport, the Biden administration TSA, now set up a special screening line for non-U.S. citizens without passports. May I repeat that? Because if you go to board a plane in Tucson, what do you think is going to happen to you? Where are your papers? Well, I don't have anything. I just came because everybody else could do it. No, not everybody else can. Only non-U.S. citizens without passports. They get to go into a separate line where they're getting a laser jet printed notice to appear, no other photo ID, and they're allowed to go past the security line and get on a plane. Maybe one that has your family or members on it. There is no common sense in any of this. And what they're trying to do at the border and at the airports, at New York's LaGuardia Airport, TSA officers were watching some of these come through. And this was apparently an Arkansas resident. He said, I don't know how that happened. Maybe it's something the baby ate. Because in a diaper, in a diaper they found 17 bullets. Well, it was an otherwise clean diaper, so the baby didn't poop the bullets. Somebody was thought, oh, I can get some bullets through TSA by putting them inside a diaper. So now that man is cited for unlawful possession of ammunition. All he should have said was, hey, I'm illegal. I didn't know that. You can't cite me for anything. Put me on a plane. Let me go. You dare try to get on a plane without any identification, they will handcuff you, put you down on the floor, and put you away. All right, let me turn to another subject. When you think I'm the baddest of all the bad, and you think you can take on anyone, and then you realize, but I got to face Hulk Hogan, your life might flash before you, right? Well, there's something about Hulk Hogan that he admits is even bigger than him. It's not Andre the Giant. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, you know, when things were tough, you know, I realized that
this too shall pass. You know, that this was just a temporary situation. I realized that, you know, as long as I made the right choice, you know, and followed my faith more than what people were saying or what the newspapers or the tabloids were saying and didn't get sucked into that, none of that stuff was real. The only thing that is really real is the stuff that's going to last forever. You know, your faith and your belief in God and knowing that, you know, once you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You know, you're not going to perish, but you're going to have everlasting life. That belief in itself and that faith is what's pretty much the only thing that's real to me.
The words of Hulk Hogan. Being a Christian, accepting Christ into his life, knowing he has eternal life, through that acceptance, he got baptized, he and his wife, at a church in Florida this week. Hulk Hogan, now 70 years old, actually did post photos to his social media accounts of he and his wife, Skye, being baptized at the Rocks Indian Rocks Baptist Church in Largo, Florida. And Hogan wrote, "Total surrender and dedication to Jesus is the greatest day of my life. No worries, no hate, no judgment, only love." Now, he had been posting about his faith journey on social media earlier this year, and he added, "I accepted Christ as my Savior at 14 years old, and the training and prayers and vitamins kept me in the game, but now that I'm one with God, the main theme of surrender, service, and love makes me the real main event that can slam any giant of any size through the power of my Lord and Savior. And so it is even now, brother. Amen." There are a lot of us who have accepted Christ at a younger age, maybe did have a baptism then, and we, man and woman, become the prodigal son or child. We wander away. Then maybe we come back for a while. Then we go away again. I mean, I never really understood a lot of that until I had children and how I could tell them not to do something. They go and do it again and they come and I might punish them. And I'm always thankful God has shown me more mercy than I've shown my children, but you love them and you accept them back and try to get them back on the right track. And my girls are both great and they're raising great grandkids for me, and not great grandkids, but I mean fantastic grandkids with the same values. They have a different way than I do, but it works. And for Hulk Hogan, somebody you think, oh man, he's so tough, badass, puts his life in line with Jesus Christ. I'd mentioned earlier about how the Israeli Defense Forces had to admit the other day that their own troops shot and killed three Israelis being held hostage by Hamas. The three of them came out of a building, no shirts on, apparently carrying at least one white flag, but one of the IDF officers or troops recognized, hey, this could be an ambush. It could be Hamas posing, trying to get closer to us, and for whatever reason, opened fire, and once one bullet flies, many more flew. It was all over three of these all three were killed when they're trying to get back. Well, one Israeli mother who lost a 28-year-old son that day because he was mistakenly identified as possibly Hamas terrorist, she reached out to them. She said, "I am Yotam's mother. I want to tell you I love you very much. I hug you here from afar. I know that everything that happened is absolutely not your fault, nobody's fault except that Hamas. May their name be wiped out, their memory erased from the earth. But I want you to look after yourselves and think all the time you're doing the best thing in the world, the best thing that could happen that could help us. And don't hesitate for a second if you see a terrorist. Don't think that you killed a hostage deliberately. You have to look after yourselves because only that way can you look after us." And she added, "At the first opportunity, you're invited to come visit us. We'd love to see you. Nobody's going to judge you or be angry, not me, not my husband, not my daughter, not even my son, though his memory be blessed, nor his brother. We love you very much. and you're welcome to visit when you can. She knows exactly what they needed, and that was it. You do not want to miss the second hour, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.